We are at verse number 5. Now, what you have found out is that Paul is not sugarcoating anything. Paul is really, he's really giving the church there at Ephesus. He's giving them a workover. He's just drawing the line. He's just telling it like it is. And so as we looked at this on last week, we talked about that as you look at verse 1 through verse number 7, what we found, began to see, was that there were six things that believers needed to know in following God. So Paul is going back and he's letting the Ephesian church know, these are some things, listen, you need to be following God. And these are some things that you need to be doing while you are following God. We looked at verse number 1 on last week. The first thing was, believers follow God by becoming followers of God. We looked at the second thing, verse number 2. And that was, believers follow God by loving as Christ loved. We looked at verse 3. Believers follow God by being clean bodied, that is, by being morally pure. And then we looked at the verse number 4, believers follow God by being clean mouthed. And so tonight we look at verse number 5 and verse number 6. And what we find in verse 5 and verse number 6 is that the believers follow God by knowing God's solemn warning. God has a warning for them if they continue to do what they are doing in verse number 3 through verse number 6. So let's look at verse number 5. He starts out by saying, for this ye know. In other words, what Paul is doing, Paul is letting them know, listen, I have taught you the truth many times. You should already know this. This should already be in your mind. I shouldn't be have to go telling you how you need to live the Christian life, the way God wants you to live. You should already be living this kind of life. You already know that God does not tolerate sin. He doesn't tolerate sin. It has no place in his kingdom. And so that's what he's saying in verse number 5, for this ye know. And he talks about, then he goes on and he began to list some things. He says in verse number 5, that no whoremonger. Now when we look at this, a whoremonger is a person who has dealings with prostitutes. And not only that, but they deal with habitual immorality, anything, all these things that are sin. In other words, it's speaking of all types of sexual sins that class by God as abomination. Well, you got to understand, what's abomination? Abomination means disgusting sins. That's what abomination means. It means disgusting sin. These things that you are doing, it's disgusting. It's disgusting to God. And so he says, listen, no whoremonger, no unclean, speaking of an unclean heart, unclean soul, the covetous person. He talks about a covetous person wants things that do not belong to him. Adultery is someone who worships false gods. So he says, listen, all of these things right here, you don't have an inheritance. It's not going to get you into the kingdom of God. And so you can see how God would say that people involved in this kind of thing, all of these things he's been talking about from verse 3 through all the way to verse number 5, he talks about all of these things. They have no reward that's waiting for them. So he said, none of this thing, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so these really are children of wrath. And so then he goes on and said, now listen, what you need to do then in verse number 6, he said, listen, let no man deceive you with vain words. In other words, with empty words, talking that talk that sinful things are not sinful. Don't let nobody, see back then, they you know, in that particular time, in that particular church, they had heresies. They were just talking about things that was not true. And so he said, listen, don't you be deceived, thinking that no Christian will be sinless in this present life. Why? Because all of us have sinned, and we have all come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23, and we find in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And so it's dangerous, it's deceiving for Christians to offer assurance of salvation to a professing believer whose life is characterized by persistent sin, who shows no shame in this, and they don't hunger for the holy and pure word of God. In other words, it's okay. God understands. No. We got to understand that they are headed. We need to let them know the truth. And that is, you are headed for the wrath of God. Because when you go back, you remember when Paul talked to the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2? You remember what he said? Let's go back there and look at it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 2. He said, listen, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Listen, there was a time that, yeah, you used to walk like this. But here I am trying to tell you now, you don't need to be walking like this. Why? Because now you are a child of God. You shouldn't be doing all of these things because, listen, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Don't be deceived. So he says that according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the what? Children of disobedience. So, we should be partakers. That's what we're going to be looking at in verse 7. That Christians should not be partakers of any of their wickedness. You should not have any part in the wickedness. And so as we see this, he goes back and he says, listen, so let's bring all this together. Let's bring all this together before we move on so you can really get a picture. He says, first of all, be ye therefore followers of God. That's what we need to be. He's telling them, he's assuring them, this is what you need to be, followers of God. And then what he does, he tells them how they need to walk. You need to walk in love as Christ loved us. And so then he goes on, then he tells them the negative side. These are some things that if you're going to walk in love, if you're going to be followers of God, then you're going to have to put away these things. All right? Fornication and uncleanness and covetousness. Y'all see that? He's saying that again. He's already said it in verse 3, and he says it in verse 5. He said, fornication, all cleanliness. Uncleanness and covetousness. Let it not be once named among you as becoming saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking and jester, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks. For this ye know. You already know these things. You're not going to inherit eternal life. And so he said that no whoremonger, no unclean person, no covetous man who is an adulterer, adulterator, had an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. But then there's a sixth thing that he says. He says, now since you know this, the sixth thing is in verse number 7. The believer follow God by separating himself from the unclean. Look what he says. He says in verse 7, be not ye therefore partakers with what? Them. Don't associate with them. We must not fellowship with people who are involved in these sins. Because why? We might be guilty by association. And so we need to understand. Don't do that. But do you not know that it's strange how the ways of the sinner seem to be picked up more readily than the ways of the saints? We can pick up some negative stuff real quick. Yes, we can. But when he's talking about doing something for God and being God-like, it seems like we have problems. But if you're going to be a follower of God, you cannot associate with these things Paul is saying in these other verses. You can't have no part in these things. And so Paul says, listen, be not ye therefore partakers with them. In other words, don't join the world in its evil. The world is evil. And so we can't be joining the world. Don't be partners with them in wickedness. Just because they're being wicked doesn't mean you have to be. Just because they're doing stuff wrong doesn't mean you have to be. You have to do stuff wrong. So as a child of God, you got to separate yourself. You got to let them know, listen, I'm not going to be partakers of your evil mess, your evil deeds, your wickedness. I don't want to have no part of that. And see, sometimes the problem with us as Christians is that instead of us not having part with them, we join them. We do this, and then we wonder. Then we wonder why we are not being the example that we need to be, why folk ain't coming. Because listen, we live one way on Sunday, but we live another way through the week. We need to be the same person every day. If you are a follower of God, then you need to be a follower of God, not just on Sunday, but every day. You need to be setting the example as a child of God. So he said, listen, don't be partners with them in their wickedness. Don't partake, but be partners with Christ in righteousness. And not only that, don't imitate the world, but who do we need to be imitating? Christ. Because if we are followers of Christ, then we're going to what? Imitate Christ. We're going to walk in his love. So that's what he says in verse number 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And so then when you begin to leave from there, when you look at verse 8 through verse 14, verse 8 through 14, what you're going to find and what you're going to see is that there are two walks through life that are available to men. There are two walks in life that are available to men. Number one, there is the life and walk of darkness. Number two, there is the life and walk of light. So there are two areas, there are two walks which are available to us. You either are walking in darkness or you are walking in light. But here's the thing. A person's eternity is determined by which life and which walk he pursues. Your eternal destiny depends on which way you are walking. So the question comes, as I look within my life, and as you look within your life, which way are we walking? Are we walking in the light? Or are we walking in darkness? And so we see that. So when you look at verse 8 through 14, Again, what you're going to see is just like in verse 1 through verse number 7. You're going to see six things from these verses that we can learn about light in these verses. There are 6 things we're going to learn about light from verse 8 through verse 14. All right? The first thing that we're going to learn is in verse number 8. And that is light, not darkness, is the nature of the believer. Light, not darkness, is the nature of the believer. When you become a child of God, you ought to be walking in the light, not in darkness. Because that ought to be your nature now. Your nature ought to be light. So let's look at verse number 8. In verse 8 he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Y'all see that? Before we came to Christ, our total existence, our being as well as our behavior was characterized by darkness. That's before we became a child of God. Go back to again. He goes back to Ephesians chapter 2. How we used to walk. How we used to live. All right? It was characterized by what? Darkness. And so, as we see that, we were children of darkness. We were sons of disobedience. Okay, let's go back again. Let's go back to chapter 2. Because, again, he has relationship there. He says, "Wherein in time past, you walked." That's before you became a child of God. And guess what? That's to all of us. There was a time, he said, that you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. In other words, Satan. Satan was your leader. And so the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation. This is how we used to live. And I hope we don't live like that now. As Christians, this is how we used to live. There ought to be something different about us. People ought to be able to see something that's different about us. They ought to be seeing how the way you used to live compared to how you live now. Now, if you're living like you used to live, there is no good. What's different about you? You're still the same. But you don't act like you used to act. Now, we can say, you know, a lot of us probably say, "Man, I used to be a devil." So trying to speak, you know. "Man, I tell you what, man, shoot. If anybody said anything to me wrong, man, I tell you what I do." That's how we used to live. We didn't think. Hey, it was about bringing it on. But now there ought to be something different. I don't act like that anymore. I don't live like that anymore. So he goes back. So let's go back to verse number 8. He says, "For ye in some you were sometime darkness." But what happened? "Now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." See, the reason, when you're looking at these verses, the reason that Paul is addressing these things, because somebody was doing this. So Paul is addressing. Now, if they weren't doing this, Paul wouldn't address it. So Paul is addressing it because there were those who was doing this. Paul said, listen, I'm trying to tell you, you used to. But now you need to be walking in the light. As the Lord, you know, walk as children of light. Do you not know that sinners love darkness? They love darkness. Oh, you can read, look in John, you have time, John chapter 3, verse 19 through 21. But it's darkness from which salvation in Christ delivers sin. And so we need to understand, walking in darkness is the condition of everyone before they came to the light of Jesus Christ. Was walking in darkness. According to verse 8 through 14. That's what we're going to be looking at. And so, now, what light does is that light does away with darkness. If you come in this building and the lights was off, it'll be what? Dark. But what happened when you turn the switch on? Darkness is gone. Now it's light. The way we used to live, dark. The way Christians need to live today, light. You see? Because we are light of the world. We are the light. Now, I want y'all to picture that. Picture that. That's a lot, man. That's a lot of what you call that? Demand, responsibility. I am the light of the world. We are a city. To sit on a hill, you know, he's talking about, you know, when you're driving somewhere and you way up on a hill and there you see a light that's shining. That's what we are. We are light that's sitting on a hill. And that's why he says, let your light so shine. Why? Because there are folk that are looking at you. Now, folks, that's why you have to let your light shine. And so we need to understand, you are the light of the world, Jesus says. Man, that's powerful. That's something that you and I shouldn't take lightly. That as a child of God, that we have a responsibility God has given us to be light of the world. And I don't want my light to go out. I want people to see my light. Don't you want them to see yours? Because and when they see your light, it's pointing them not to you, but it's pointing them to Jesus. And that's what we all need to be pointing folks to, Jesus Christ. But in order to point them to Jesus Christ, you got to be that light. You got to be something that people see. And so he said, you are the light of the world, Matthew 5:14. Why? Why are we light now? Because we share. We share now Christ's own nature. He is the light. And that's why. And so if he's the light, and if we're following him, guess what we are? Light. All right? We are the light. All right? And so because we are in the Lord, we who were once children of darkness, we are now children of light. And as children of light, that's how we need to walk. We need to walk in the light. So, what we find? First of all, in verse number 8, light, not darkness, is the nature of believers. The second thing that we see is in verse 9. In verse 9, light bears the things of life, the fruit of the Spirit. Look at verse 9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in, watch this, all, now don't overlook that word all. All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Y'all see that? The three supreme characteristics of fruit of our walk as children of light is goodness, righteousness, and truth. And these are the test of our true faith, our true saving relationship with the Lord. Now, when you make a decision, see, a decision for Christ, church membership, faithful attendance at worship services, being baptized, financial support of the Lord's work, and many other things are often used as evidence of our salvation. But hear me out. They are often used as evidence of our salvation. Yes, the faithful Christian should do all of these things. We should do all of these things. But they are behaviors that are easily done in the flesh. Listen, you can be faithful one day and not faithful the next day. So that's not the true test. But watch this. The three characteristics that Paul mentions here are spiritual works. Y'all see? They are spiritual works that cannot be achieved through the flesh. They cannot be achieved through the flesh. And so what are they? Here it is again. The all reflects to the divine standard. In other words, if you're going to see the true faithfulness, if you're going to see the truth, then guess what? Here's the standard. The standard is goodness. And goodness used here is like agape love. It's like agape love that finds its fullness and its highest expression in that which is willing and sacrificially done for others. In other words, it's not about me, but it's about others. And so one of the things is, how do you treat others? And so the goodness is just like agape. See, agape love is I love you in spite of. I love you in spite of. And so goodness is, listen, I'm going to treat you the way God wants me to treat you in spite of. I'm going to be good to you in spite of you being bad to me. Y'all see that? I'm still going to be good to you. Because that's one of the characteristics. That's one of the tests. Is goodness. The second test is righteousness. And it has to do, first of all, with our relationship to God. That's what it has to do. But righteousness also has to do with how we live. Not only with our relationship to God, but also how we live. All right? And so those who are made righteous are commanded to live righteously, to present themselves to God. You know, when you look at Romans chapter, you know, he talks about Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2. How do we need to live? You know, in Romans chapter 12, he talks about being that sacrifice. You are a living sacrifice, holy to God, and accepted, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be you transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may present. And so we got to understand is the second test is our relationship to God and how we live in this world. And so God knows how you live, and you know how you live. And so the question comes, are we living righteously? Are we doing what God wants us to do? And so the first test is goodness. Second is righteousness. And then the third is truth. That has to do with honesty. That has to do with reliability, trustworthiness, integrity. You know, what you are when people are not around you. Who you are. And so are you the same? Just like you're here today, are you the same when you go home? Are you the same through the week? Or are you different? And so we have to be honest. Reliable. Are you reliable? Are you trustworthy? And so these are some things. You're not being hypocritical, but you're being honest. You're not being deceptive, but you're being truthful. All right? And so without that fruit, what fruit? All goodness, righteousness, and truth. Without that fruit, without these three tests, there is no evidence of the life of God. So when we look at the Spirit here, I got 5 minutes. When we look at the Spirit here, what the Spirit is speaking of the Holy Spirit. All right? It's speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. See, fruit comes, and you might want to write this, fruit comes from whatever tree it is of. In other words, you got a peach tree. What you going to have on it? Peaches. You got an apple tree. What you going to have on it? Apples. Right? So the fruit that came from the Holy Spirit will be goodness, righteousness, and truth. But not only that, even in Galatians, when you go back and look at Galatians, he talks about what? The fruit of the Spirit. These are characterized by the Christian. All right? And so the Holy Spirit brings all truth together to the believer. Our righteousness is the righteousness that Jesus gave us when he took our sins on Calvary's cross. And so we've seen these two things. Light, not darkness, is the nature of believers. Verse 8. Light bears the thing of life, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 9. And we're going to be looking at, if you want to go ahead and read on for our next lesson, we're going to look at verse 10, right? And verse 10, light shows what is acceptable. Verse 10, light shows what is acceptable. Verse 11 and verse 12, light exposes the works of darkness. Light exposes the work of darkness. That's in verse 11 and verse number 12. And then in verse number 13, we're going to see that light reveals and converts everything it touches. Light reveals and converts everything it touches. We're going to look at that. We're going to see that in verse 13. And then we're going to see in verse 14 that light awakens the sleeping. Light awakens the sleeping. We're going to be looking at that in verse 14. So just be reading over those verses and we'll pick back up on, Lord's willing, on next week. At this time,